first reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to them, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Wow. G'day. Nice to be back. Lovely to see you all. One of the great blessings of having long service leave is to be able to do all sorts of things you'd never do. One of the great blessings of returning is to be able to come back and see the faces of the people you love. Isn't it good? I must confess I didn't miss you the whole time. But then I'm supposed to not miss you the whole time, am I? It's all good. I am going to sit down whenever I need to. I still have a partially collapsed lung. So just so that you're aware, and this is the reason why I'm croaking, I can't sing at the moment, but God's on the game and it's all working. We will be fine. So don't be worried about that, but I am going to pace myself to make sure that I do my bit and he'll do his. Anyway, he does. Very faithful. But just so that you're aware, if I stop and cough, I'm not actually infectious with anything now. I'm just dealing with the leftovers of the infection that I had when I returned from sunny Barcelona, where it was pouring. That's what happens, doesn't it? It was all good. I had a magnificent time, so thank you for releasing me to do that. It was a blessing, a huge blessing. Well, I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So there was this bloke named Job. You might have seen him in the Bible somewhere. J-O-B, Job, not Job. And Job was a guy who had a whole lot of stuff. He had lots of stuff. He was a very rich man. And then something happened to him. And he believed in God. He was a very rich man. And the enemy decided that he would try to test Job's faith. And he started taking from Job everything that he held dear. But Job kept his eyes on God. He got very upset. He complained a lot. But he kept his eyes on God and he walked by faith. When we have a little look at our first reading today, the rich man, we see somebody who is a bit Job-like. He's a man who has lots, but he's also a man who knows the Lord. And he comes to Jesus because he is seeking more. He's seeking more. This is not enough. And he says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Great question, isn't it? What must I do to inherit eternal life? He recognizes that Jesus is offering what only God can give. And Jesus, having quoted the commandments to him, notice he didn't quote the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He just quoted the ones which were the practical ones. And he said, well, I've done these all my life. Jesus looks at this man, and Mark tells us he loved him. That's really important to pick up on because people get really upset with this guy because he's a rich man. And when Jesus then challenges him, he walks away. Hold that thought because it's important for us to think about this. And what I want to talk about today is really important. And I think it's something that some of the things that have happened in the world just lately has really highlighted. A story. I'm good at stories, as you know. North Carolina. You know what's happening there after Hurricane Helene. Aid worker walks up to a house trying to see if there's anybody there and out comes a lady. And the aid worker says, what do you need? And she says, look, my house is gone. It'll have to be rebuilt. I don't have power or water or a phone that works. But I'm so blessed because I still have my family. My neighbors are okay, and I have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have everything if I have him. And she wasn't just saying that like I'm trying to convict myself. She actually said it with rejoicing. Our young man is very wealthy. When he says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus loves him. He sees his faith. He sees his seeking more. And he gives him the challenge that this young man needs. You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And the young man is shocked and walks away grieving because he's very rich. He's got everything, but he hasn't got what he needs. Now, there's a theology in the world which is all about prosperity and how God will prosper you. And if you are doing God's will, you will be prospered. And if you are paying this much money or doing these things, God will prosper you. And It's heresy. I've heard people preach this message that says if you put this much in the plate, God will give you 10 times back. If you ask God for a shiny red sports car and you truly believe you'll get it, you'll get your shiny red sports car. God is not a vending machine. We do not put offering in and get out what we want. We put offering in because he has already given us everything. And we're giving back. And in that exchange, we honor him. And when we honor him, God works in our lives. But he does not necessarily give us shiny sports cars or full bank accounts. What he gives us is what this lady has. The most precious gift we could possibly have. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has died to wash away our sin and give us eternal life. This is a precious gift. This is treasure. Now, God's not against rich people. It's all good. If you've got money in the bank, he's not here saying, right, give it all up. That's the only way to follow me. That's not what this is about. It's been preached that way. Not what it's about. He loves him. He loves him enough to challenge him on the one thing that is keeping him from inheriting the treasure. Jesus knows the man's heart, and he knows that in order to truly come and receive the grace of God, he's going to have to let go of things which are keeping him from serving the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because it's getting in the way. Now, this is not surprising that it surprises the disciples. When Jesus says how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, and the disciples are like, what? Really? I thought that was a good thing. You know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they're flabbergasted. Of course they are, because they come from a society which is not much different to our own. If you've got money and you've got all the things, then you must be someone who's done all right. You must be blessed by God. You must be a person who has the beauty and the blessing from God. Therefore, that makes you amazing. And people who have all the things then get honor amongst people because they say they've got the things, therefore they must have done the right thing. And that is not how God works. Just because you got stuff doesn't make you God's person. If you got Jesus, that makes you God's person. What Jesus is trying to help them to see and turn on its head is how this works. Think about it. Do you see somebody who is blessed with the good things of life as someone who is blessed, and see somebody who is not blessed with the good things of life, who maybe is struggling living on the street or something, as not blessed? Because we do this unconsciously. And yet, who did Jesus hang out with? He didn't hang out with the rich people. He hung out with the least. Why? Not because he didn't love the rich people. He loved this man who came to him. He saw in him all the beauty of a child of God. He knew what he needed, so he challenged him with what he needed to hear. If he'd come with him with something else he needed challenging about, Jesus would have challenged him about that. Because that's what Jesus always, always wanting us to be able to come. Always wanting us to receive the grace of God, the love of God, because that's true treasure. And it doesn't matter whether you've got $1 million or whether you've only got one. That is not the qualification. Qualification is faith. in Jesus. In the Lord Jesus, that he has died for us, that his blood is shed for us, that we are washed clean of our sin and have eternal life in him. That faith, repentance of our sin, which is important, because a lot of the time we hear the faith bit but we forget the repentance bit. We've actually got to be prepared to say, I'm sorry, Lord. That's part of it. But once we've said, I'm sorry, we get forgiven. Once we're forgiven, we receive the grace. Once we receive the grace, we have eternal life. Just as this lady said, she has everything if she has Jesus. Job knew that too. That's why he kept going back to God, even though he was miserable. He kept going back to God. I know you'll hear me. If I could only find you, I know you would hear me. Because I've been walking with you. And of course, in the end, God did come to him. And Job sort of sat back and went, yeah, I don't know anything, do I? God gave him then back a whole lot more than he had lost. Because his treasure had been in the Lord all along. The disciples needed to learn this too, because they lived in that society too. They thought that if you're rich, you're blessed by God. Therefore, the rich people are far more blessed by God than the poor people. That's not how it works. Jesus needed them to understand. Do you know Jesus preaches on money more than he preaches on anything else? Throughout the Gospels. That is not because Jesus is anti-money. It's because he wants people to understand the one thing that seems to take people's hearts and souls more than anything else is money. We'll chase it. We'll turn it into treasure. We call, if you get a chest with a whole lot of coins in it, what do you call it? A treasure chest. He wanted them to understand what true treasure is, because the key to actually prospering, that is being happy, blessed, and being able to live out your life well, is not in what you have, in who you have. And if we judge people by the world's standard, we actually join the world, not the Lord. And this is something we have to be very careful of, because it's easily done, isn't it? Easily done. And God tells us not to judge, but to love. Very important. Jesus loved this man. He didn't judge him. He saw his heart. He loved him and told him what he needed to hear. Now, he went away sad, but we don't get the end of the story. Maybe he went away sad and he sat and he grieved and he repented and he went to the Lord and went, yeah, he's right. This stuff is in front of my eyes and I can't see God. That's why I'm seeking God, because that's actually in the way. Maybe he did give it away and come back. We don't know that. We don't get any more of the story, which is a bit of a pity. Sometimes you want to know what happened afterwards, don't you? But it's left hanging in order for us to move on. Mark is not going to give us more than that, because inspired by the Holy Spirit, he goes on to give us the lesson that Jesus taught. And the lesson that Jesus taught his disciples was that it's actually impossible for us to save ourselves. And we try and do that with all sorts of stuff and stuff. But with God, all things are possible. And through him and him alone can we be saved. And Peter says, well, we gave up everything. We've left everything for you. And Jesus says, yep, absolutely. There's absolutely no one who leaves everything for me who will not from the Father receive back all sorts of things now and in the age to come. The thing that really we receive back is eternal life. Then he says, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. That's because God turns things upside down. It's a reversal. Now, there are many rich people who love the Lord with all their heart, and it doesn't get in the way. They're actually living out their lives with full bank accounts and nice homes and everything else. And they are living and serving and giving away and giving away always for the Lord. And they're still walking in that place where they have money. And there are many poor people who give and give and give and don't actually seem to ever get to the point where they've paid all the bills all the time. And yet, I will tell you, I have heard time and again, and I can witness it to myself, that you can get to a point where you do every week find there's not enough, but God will always supply enough. According to his riches and glory. That's right. That is true, and I can tell you that now. I was a $2 gawk girl when I was at Ridley College. They knew me as the $2 gawk girl because I always only had $2. I was living with nothing, and I was delivering pizzas to be able to eat because you got to eat the pizza. And then you got paid, and then I could put fuel in my car, and I could get into Ridley for my studies. And I lived like that for quite a while, and God always paid my bills. What this is true prosperity. Prosperity is not about the things, it's about the God who blesses them. Man emerges out of his mud-filled house with one thing in his hand. The house is absolutely gone. It's just Bill being filled to the roof. He had managed to get out. He's gone into his house to see if there's anything to salvage. He comes out covered in mud. And in his hand, he has one thing. And he runs out and he goes, "Look, the only dry thing in my house." You know what it was? A Bible. The only dry thing in the entire house was a Bible. And he said, "Look, the Word of God, I've got it." Where are we on this? Where are you on this? What's speaking to your heart? What would Jesus' challenge be if he was speaking to you today? Is there something which takes up space? The Lord is calling you today to lay down for him. Doesn't mean that you lose it. It means you give it to him and then he gives it back to you in a way that you can actually then use it as a blessing, not something that gets in the way. That's often what happens. What is God saying to you is in the way? Is there a challenge Jesus would give to you? If you are going to ask him that question, it's important to think about this because we do sometimes get so caught up in the stuff. And I've done it myself. And I've worried myself sick in the middle of the night about things when I should have just put them down and let God deal with them. I've just spent 3 weeks on the bed or on the couch. And it was really, really easy to get grumpy about that. Because he wanted to do things. I had 2 more weeks of holidays and I'll spend it on the couch. Very annoying. Really annoying. And why did God let that happen? Well, that's a stupid question. God didn't let it happen. It comes from the other side. He doesn't stand illness. You know what? I said to him, "Okay, Lord, whatever's going on here and the reason why I'm sick, I'm just going to give it to you." And you know what he said? He said, "You'd have come back and run around and then gone back to work exhausted. You need a rest. And you'll be fine." I went, "Okay. I'm fine. Can't breathe. I'm fine. I'll get better. That's the whole point. I will get better. An infection. I'll get better." But what it did make me do is stop, and it allowed me to sit, and because I had all that time, I could talk to God, I could spend time with him, I could pray, I could listen. We often are very busy talking but not listening. Have you done that one with your prayers? Yabbity, 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 yabbity. Okay, I'll finish praying and move on. Easy done. But if you've got space to listen, listen, because he's talking always. One more You know, in Hebrews it talks about the Word of God being so powerful that it can actually show the heart, which is exactly what happened with this man. And the writer of Hebrews says, since then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, that is our faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Tennessee, there's an aid station that's only accessible by helicopter. They've been dropping off things. It's at a Baptist church, and they've been dropping things off to this church. And then people have been hiking into the hills to find the places where people have no food and no water still, or taking pack horses up, loaded up, because you can't get through any other way. And at this aid station, there was a lady who has been working at the aid station, and there was a mother and her two little girls who came in, and they had hiked 2 hours to get to the aid station so that they could get food and some supplies. And she gave them the food and the supplies they needed, and their mother and girls hiked back their 2 hours. And the next day they came back, and she said, do you need anything else? And they said, no, we just want to help, because now we've got what we need. We want to look after other people. So they came every day to help. And a couple of days later, she recognized that they were really not wearing anything different, and they didn't look very well. And she said, so what happened with your house? Oh, it got washed away. So where are you living? Under the gazebo. She said to them, so what are you doing here? I said, well, there's people here, food and shelter, and anyway, we can serve the Lord. So that day the helicopters came in and dropped off the supplies, and the guy from the helicopter ministry said to her, is there anything else we can do for you? And very jokingly she said to him, do you think we could get a camper trailer for this lady whose house is washed off? And he said, I'll work that one out. I'll find one and I'll drop it into you. And he said, yes. He was in tears, absolute tears. She said, this woman is giving everything for the Lord and teaching her children to serve in the midst of something which should be crushing. And that's God's blessing back to her. With God, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing. And this lady's gift, having lost absolutely everything, will come to her because somebody asked, she didn't, but also because God provides for his people. Let's pray. Lord, you gave everything for us when you sent Jesus to die for us. And you gave us then eternal life through his resurrection. And we have everything we need in him. Help us to know the treasure that we have. And help us to put everything else second to that treasure. And where in our hearts today we know that perhaps you've been speaking about something, Lord, help us to remember that you love us. And therefore, all you want is for your children to respond in repentance and faith so that you can have us moving on with you. I pray, Lord, you will help us to rejoice in the fact that you are here with us, and that no matter whether we have much or little, you will not cease to be God, and all things are possible. In Jesus' name. Amen.